Welcome to the Relationship as Medicine podcast. I'm your host, Shelby Lee. Outdoor adventure enthusiast, dog mom to Luna, world traveler, longtime meditator, espresso lover, and a trained somatic psychotherapist, trauma specialist, and certified coach. Talking about trauma doesn't have to be so daunting. From a connected place, we can navigate anything together. Looking forward to exploring with you today. Here we go. Welcome, Nuria. Happy to be here with you and to introduce you to everyone who doesn't already know you. Y'all, I'm really looking forward to having this conversation and having you be here with Nuria and I. Nuria is a certified sex coach, anthropology enthusiast, animist practitioner, and professional in transformation and liberation. Her approach is trauma-informed, somatic-based coaching, specifically for sexuality, spiritual awakening, and ancestral healing. And her philosophy is planted in the reclaimed animist traditions of her ancestors and the tantra of her yogic lineage. With 10,000 hours of teaching and training experience and 2 decades of transformative personal work, Nuria lives, breathes, and embodies liberation through pleasure. Welcome, Nuria.
So nice to be here. It was really powerful to have you read my bio back to me. I actually got a little emotional. Thank you.
It's really beautifully written, and it's very clear that you have been in this work, living, breathing, and practicing it for a long time.
Thank you. It's nice to have that mirrored.
Yeah. Is there anything you'd like to add that got left out, that got sparked when I read that? And also like where you are in the world, anything else like that you want to add?
I'm in Joshua Tree, California, and I want to add that although my bio sounds very accomplished, I so feel like a student and still am such a student, learning, learning, learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is awesome. That's something I really like about you and such a good reminder for all of us. And a good place to start today as we're all orienting to what we'll explore. And in my mind, we're going to explore what ancestral awakening is and the embodied practice of it as you offer it and as you know it. Is there a way that could be said differently?
Wow. Great question. Ancestral awakening it's really up to the individual how they want to approach it. It doesn't necessarily mean connecting with your blood lineage, because our ancestors are also the earth, the sky, the rocks, the trees, the minerals, the cosmos, and even cultural ancestors, spiritual ancestors. And so I let it be open. And in doing so, people find the healing that they need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd love to hear what inspired you, you know, from your own history, anything you want to share with us about how this work came to be.
Where to begin? It's hard to say my story because my story is also my family's story. The cultural story of the folks who had to leave Europe and come to the Americas, and what happened to my ancestors who were in Europe, and how that's manifested in my lifetime, this one that we're here together in. I think emerged as a child when I really just was like a little pagan witchy child, and I felt so connected, and there wasn't like a place for me to have that. And then I found yoga When I was really deep in an eating disorder, I found yoga, and that was the one place where I felt like I could just fully be all of me in my darkness and my light and my mess. And I went with yoga for a long time, like 2 decades. And while the tradition, it's so beautiful, it's so powerful, we can learn so much from it, there was a part in me that sensed that I was a custodian of it, but it wasn't truly mine. And I kind of quote that because how can we ever own a tradition? But it didn't feel so deeply embodied and authentic. And I started questioning that. And I started questioning, what were the movement traditions of my ancestors? What were the plant medicines of my ancestors? What were the songs? How did they heal? How did they relate to the divine and to the natural world? And in doing so, I had to excavate why all of that was lost or stamped out or erased or forgotten. And it opened up this portal of immense healing, personally from a lineage, but also a cultural healing, because those of us who have been separated from our indigenous, meaning our land-based practices for a long time, have a wound there. And we end up taking from other traditions to fill that wound. So it's been this beautiful kind of full circle journey where now I feel like I'm back playing with the fairies and the rocks and the trees, just like I did when I was a little pagan child.
Yeah. I notice for myself, my own experience dropping into the conversation with you as a white-bodied woman with European ancestry, there's a lot of layers of noise for me of, you know, how do we explore this in a way that's skillful and mindful? How do we make space for inclusivity and everybody's ancestry and everybody's voices in this conversation? Why is this important for us now, for you now, and for the people that come see you? And I felt myself exhale when you mentioned, you know, when we don't have connection to our own land-based ancestry and traditions, we take from others. And I know for me, I've avoided getting to know my own ancestry in so many ways because of the harm my ancestors have caused. And I just want to name that and put that here because I don't think that this is a conversation that's easy for a lot of people to have. I think it can bring up so much so fast. And so for anybody that's listening, just to invite us all to just be curious, you know, what is there here that we don't know, that we can learn together, that we can hold together and be curious about together. And my understanding of decolonization work and my own personal work as a white-bodied woman with European ancestry is that I cannot be fully inclusive, not culturally appropriating, if I don't know my own ancestry, if I'm not connected with the traditions of my ancestors, if I'm just being blind to everything, I'm don't have as much information and embodied experience available to me, whether it was horrific or beautiful, that I'm cut off from something that's really important. And so my story is that part of what you do is support people to come into that in a more holistic, embodied, and healthy way. Is that accurate?
Yeah. Yeah, beautifully said. And you touch on some really powerful points that are both the wound and the portal to healing. In my experience, I found that to be the case. I'm curious, where do your ancestors come from?
on the most basic level, what I know is Wales and France. And I could be wrong. I don't have a personal strong family connection, so I don't have access to a lot of information, but it's probably UK and France.
So with those, especially the UK, a point I like to bring up for folks, white-bodied folks or folks of mixed ancestry who want to do some lineage healing on the white side, is to do some study of history and understand the incredible harm that was done to the people of Europe, the tribes of Europe, over and over again before they began colonizing other places. And so in a way, in doing this healing work, this excavation and discovery and digestion, we're breaking a cycle of reenactment, a traumatic reenactment, if you will. And it's powerful work for white-bodied folk who are doing anti-racist work. I think this is a level deeper almost, because it really restores the balance to the natural world. Yeah, it resets our connection to indigenous land-based practices, which is almost a level deeper. Like if you think about traumatic reenactment of colonization, this healing of that original wound. Yeah, I don't know. We might have to redo that section.
I think it sounds important, and I think it's actually important why there's a pause there.
Yeah.
It's really complex.
Yeah. Yeah. It's complex, but I don't want to diminish anyone's experience. And I'm not trying to set that one wound is greater than the other wound in any way, but there's a level of healing for white-bodied folk in doing their decolonization work. I think that's really important and pairs deeply with anti-racism work because it sets us back to land.
Say more about that. What do you mean when you say it brings us back to our land-based traditions? Why is that important? How do we find that?
Mm-hmm. So I studied anthropology academically, and I've had the privilege of getting to study living traditional groups and how they relate to each other and how they relate to the natural world. And because of our own cultural bias, when I say us, I mean folks who've been in this kind of white supremacist, patriarchal, capitalist, colonialist paradigm for a long, long time, it can be really difficult to imagine another way of relating to each other and to the world. But because of anthropology, I was able to see this and to study the ways in which my ancestors, the tribes of Europe, may have also related to the world. It's a non-hierarchical relationship. It's cooperative. And it centers relationship, really, as the foundation of the group. So it's about building relationship with the natural world, building relationship with each other as equals. In the system that we exist in now, humans are centered really at the top of the pyramid. It's like humans and then everything else. And the foundation of indigenous traditional cultures is animism. And so animism is the aliveness in all things, even so-called non-living beings like rocks and trees and mountains. And when we get to relate to the natural world like their relatives, like their ancestors, and when that's a really embodied place, not just an intellectual concept, we make choices that are different and we relate to each other differently. And so this really creates a cultural shift. And I think that's why I feel like it's a level beneath anti-racism work because it's so earthy and rooted and foundational.
And not just an experience of intellectualization of these concepts, which are important. Awareness is so important, right? But an embodied practice, is that right?
Yeah, that's where the healing comes in. Because it's been a long time for folks who've been so separated from their more of traditional living to really trust their embodied sense of connection with each other and with the land and the spirits, the cosmos.
This sounds like trauma healing. It sounds like how I would describe, you know, the more we can really meet and welcome and face the history, you know, whatever is still alive in us from what's happened in this lifetime, previous lifetimes, generationally, et cetera. Even if it was horrific, even if it was incredible, the more we can be with it in an embodied, steady, regulated way, there's more space to tap into our own aliveness, our own genuineness, our own authenticity. We're able to interact with the earth, with others, and with ourselves in a much more kind way than if we were just shoving things down, like shame that we didn't want to look at, and shoving down fear. And it's like, no, there's space for it all. And in that place, then we can embody the full expression of our humanity, which is what we were meant for, right?
Hey, y'all, just pausing the podcast episode for a moment. I promise we'll be right back. But I wanted to take a second to let you know about Intelligent Change and their incredible tools that have personally helped me so much in my business and in my daily emotional life. I use their productivity planner all of the time to help get my brain focused. It can be all over the place, truly. As an entrepreneur and a business owner, there are 1,000 things that need to be tended to all of the time. The productivity planner helps me really get focused on what I need to do right here and right now. It gives me so much space to actually just rest in my time where I'm not focused on work, which is invaluable to me. I can get quite anxious if I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing and when. As somebody with complex PTSD and a tendency towards depression and anxiety, their gratitude journal has helped me so much in those quiet moments before bed and waking up to focus my mind, heart, and body towards focusing on what's good, what's going well, and allowing me to have a little more space to just settle in to these beautiful, precious moments. I can't recommend these enough. I'll drop their link in the show notes.
I think it's very much about trauma healing. Mm-hmm. And just to touch on your podcast, Relationship as Medicine.
Yeah. Say more about that.
Wow. Let me just sit with the question for a moment. Relationship as medicine because of belonging. When we do this deep trauma healing and have an embodied sense of relating to the natural world or each other like we're relatives, our feeling of belonging is exponentially increased. And it's hard to like take that away because we find that we belong to the earth, we belong to each other, wherever our ancestry has taken us on a migration, for better or for worse, we can find a sense of home and belonging in the relationship with each other and with the natural world.
I love that. Yeah, and belonging really gets severed in experiences of complex trauma.
Yeah. And for white-bodied folk living in settler countries, I have noticed there's a real wound around belonging.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So decolonization work is fortunately becoming more known, at least in the circles that I run in, maybe not as far and wide as I hope. but what's different about how you approach it and about when people are working with you, whether in your programs or one-on-one? If you could just kind of describe that a little, not so much as like a come work with me, but as a like, what is this work? What's possible from this work? You know, what's it for? Why? How? All those things.
I want to name that I leave the real heavy decolonization work to teachers of color, Indigenous teachers. And what I offer, I kind of call it the three C's. So we decolonize, so it's the colonization, the wound of Christianity, the Christianization, and capitalism. And so I interweave healing around those three systems of oppression to help folks come back to a more, I'm going to say natural, although little quotes around that, natural way of being, meaning that they are connected, they're embodied with the land around them and with the divine as inside, and are in relationship with each other and with the natural world from a place of cooperation rather than hierarchy. Yeah. And of course, when we're talking about lineage healing for white-bodied folk who maybe have settlers in their lineage, there is a level of decolonization that happens. And I really see that as like a pyramid kind of coming together of the three C's, capitalism, Christianity, and colonization, creating this mindset of extraction and scarcity and hierarchy. And so there's some shifting in that.
Yeah. Oh, important. What place does ritual have in this? I know ritual is a really important part of what you do. Is that right?
I do lots of ritual, love mm-hmm. ritual. Well, maybe on the internet you've noticed that come solstice or equinox, there's this plethora of ritual options. So various pagan ways that you could celebrate these seasonal portals. And ritual, from an anthropological perspective, creates a liminal space where we can do work. We're in a portal of transformation. And then on the other side of the ritual, there is a shift, whatever the intention of the ritual. Maybe it's a rite of passage ritual or seasonal ritual. And so on a neurobiological level, I use ritual to help facilitate change, transformation, healing, growth. And what I like to encourage folks who are starting to incorporate more of these animist, ancestral pagan style practices is to really let it feel like an embodied, simple, less is more kind of experience. So a simple ritual could be just getting outside on the equinox, which just passed, and really feeling the quality of the light. How does that impact your system? Why would your ancestors have felt like this day was important? And let it come from the inside out.
Yeah, that's one continuous thread through every tradition, right? Ritual. And I love the idea of less is more and allowing space for it to come from the inside out. I think for myself, I get lost. You know, there's so many rituals I've been taught from Christianity or various Indigenous traditions or Buddhist traditions, tantric traditions. And I'm like, what's mine? You know, like what is really wanting to come from in me? What am I, where am I most deeply connected to my own sense of the divine? And it's easy for me to get lost around which rituals are the ones. And so I like the idea of just less is more.
How do you have a way of sensing when a ritual has landed for you and it feels like this is the one? This
when
is
it's
what I
easy.
Need.
When I just find myself showing up for it, it's not something that's on the calendar, that's a big thing. It's like, oh, I'm just here. I'm standing in the river again. I've done the 7 day this week, you know, speaking my prayers in the way that I was taught, you know, oh yeah, that's a ritual. That's how I do this. And yeah, I think just when it's easy, it's become part of daily life or monthly or seasonal life. And I'm not trying. It's not performative. It's like, this is meaningful to me. It's something I've personally come to accept. You know, there are a lot of people who have like big to-do rituals, and that's like authentic for them. You know, that they have all the accoutrements and it's beautiful. But for me, for whatever reason, it has to be so simple, and it's often very quiet. And that's mine. I used to think because mine didn't look like someone else's that I was somehow less connected, less spiritual, less X, Y, Z. I'm like, no, but I go to the river 7 days a week and do my thing. You know, I'm like, well, that seems pretty meaningful. So just letting myself have my thing, you know.
I love that. Yeah, you're painting such a beautiful picture of what I hope people experience through doing this ancestral awakening and embodiment work is a really authentic, easeful way of feeling connected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm now looking at the river because it became such an important ritual. I had to live next to it. It's much closer.
Yeah. Does the river feel like it's a being to you?
Oh, for sure. 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like grandmother energy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. Many ancestors.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had so many questions as you were talking. I was curious about like how folks move from the intellectualization and, you know, the becoming aware, understanding. So many people right now are hearing about this kind of work. And, you know, most of the people who are listening to my podcast are healthcare workers, therapists, coaches, supporters in some way. And like, why is this important to like really come into the embodiment of this experience when we're doing the work we do in the world? And how do we come into this experience of embodiment?
Mm-hmm. Two big, important questions. The why, I don't think there's one clear answer to that. Why? I would never want to say just one reason why. Because it makes the world a better place, because we can shift culture, because we care about other people in the natural world, are some whys. On a more personal level, because it allows us to step more fully into our wholeness, to understand what our spiritual lineage is, what our gifts are. I have noticed, since you mentioned that most of the folks listening are in healing professions, that so many deeply connected, empathetic, cosmically opened people end up in healing professions because they don't have anywhere else to go in society that really allows them to fully express their gifts. And this is like the closest approximation that we have in our colonialist, you know, system, patriarchal system that we've talked about. And in indigenous, more traditional cultures, folks who had this gift of empathy, this gift of seeing, this gift of healing, would have had very specific roles and would have been cared for and held in a very specific way. And I have noticed that a lot of people are suffering who are in healing professions because they haven't actually gotten to be whole in their gifts. It's like they have to cut off one part of themselves to do their work in the world. And so this offers a path to reclaim who you really are for yourself and for your ancestral lineage.
Yeah, and to feel the support of that coming all the way up through the lineage and the ground and, you know, everywhere, every direction.
Yeah.
I think that is really true. And the belonging that comes with being able to sit down and this is who I am, what I bring, where I come from, with all the layers that we carry, but to have a confidence in that makes so much space for connection and wholeness in a whole, like a whole nother realm. And then we can connect to others and those that we're supporting in a place that's, it's not hitting our buttons, you know, especially if we're working with folks that are carry different histories and cultural paradigms and identities than us. We're not layering their experience with all the stuff we haven't worked through ourselves and accidentally putting it on them because we're just holding ourselves in certain ways instead of being able to sit down into who we are and where we come from.
Yeah, thank you for offering that layer. And I've noticed a cost too, to and I want to say women, just because I work mostly with women, and I've noticed this lineage a lot in the women that I work with, but a real cost to denying their gifts that don't necessarily fit into the paradigm, like their gifts of prophecy, of oracleship, of healing. And and when I think about how trauma is inherited in the body, I wonder what the effects are of generations of deep seeing, deep feeling women who weren't able to be supported and seen and celebrated in their gifts, their spiritual gifts.
I noticed I felt like a longing and a sadness, a grief when you mentioned, you know, in more traditional traditions, healers were cared for in a different way. And I'm like, oh, that would be nice, wouldn't it? Like, wow, our insurance system here in the United States has really done the opposite for so many of us, you know, who are therapists or doctors, for example, or the way that we've had to monetize and capitalize healing work in all different directions, you know, make money is, you know, instead of it being like a, the whole culture supports this and it is deserving of thriving and XYZ, it's just noisy. There's a lot going on. And I wish it was just a really deeply accepted form of we take care of our healers. The healers are working really hard and offering so much.
Truth. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that all the different kinds of healers be supported and held, the energy healers, the medicine healers, all of them.
And seen and celebrated. So you tend to work with, it sounds like, women who have European ancestry wanting to kind of connect with and heal around that. And I just want to name, it might be obvious, but that this work is important for everyone, no matter where your ancestry comes from, to be able to do that, sitting down into who you are and feeling held and supported. Can you say a little bit more about who does come find you to work with you?
Yeah. And I also want to answer your question about how people can get a taste of this for themselves too.
Yes.
So who and how? And yeah, so important for everyone, because colonization, Christianization, patriarchy, and capitalism has spread all over the world. I don't work you know, with someone who has Japanese ancestry or Chinese ancestry, because it would be very inauthentic and inappropriate for me to try and teach them about their cultural traditions. So I focus on my area of expertise, which is Europe, the old ways of Europe. And mostly folks are coming to me who are, they've done a good amount of healing work already. They've already done therapy. They've worked with indigenous plant medicines. They've done yoga. And they want to really come home to an authentic spiritual practice that comes from within. And they care about the world and they care about other people and they want to create a culture change. So they're mostly have some European ancestry in there. It is nuanced for those with mixed race because it's really up to the individual. If they are at odds with their European side, if that feels like a wound or a thorn or something shameful, it can be powerful to do some healing work in there. I feel like men are some of the most actually wounded. They have had their humanity stamped out of them the most. And I don't work with men yet so much, but I hope to in the future. Yeah. And a how-to, if you have the privilege of speaking with elders, I always invite folks to just ask some questions. It's amazing to me how few of my white friends can tell any stories about their ancestors. Whereas my friends of color, it's quite a living tradition of speaking about your grandma, speaking about your great grandma, knowing the stories of where you come from and what happened, because that's all part of your inherited legacy. So I like to invite people, if you can, ask some questions, do a little research, read some history, figure out why folks had to leave, what happened, and begin an animus practice by relating to yourself, your body, your heart, your womb space, if you have a womb, as an organ of perception. So starting to open up and relate to the world, not so much from the head, but really coming into other parts of our being and relating to them like they are these wise beings that we can perceive the world through. And from there, we can kind of open up and start to relate to our environment from this place of interbeing, interconnectedness. And if you want to go one step further, you can be like Shelby and begin a relationship with some part of the natural world, be it a tree or a special rock, and just kind of show up with it and connect with it on a regular basis and see how that starts to shift your embodied experience of the world.
It's incredible. I love, not everybody is drawn to nature, but that was one of the first places that I learned, like, there are beings that want me to succeed, thrive, be happy. Like, if I walk out in the trees by the river, I'm like, oh, my friends are here. You know, like, they're happy to see me. And it might sound weird, but it's true for me. And it feels like a really nice way to kind of get that sense of safety and support and holding when there haven't been a lot of ways to do that, that belonging.
Yes. There's that relationship as medicine piece coming in, this healing that comes from feeling supported and connected and in reciprocity with the beings around you that aren't necessarily your, you know, your blood lineage.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just so grateful for this conversation. It's interesting. The more we're talking, the more grounded, the more spacious, the more just like, I don't feel in my thoughts. I feel very in my body and just soft, excited too.
I do too. Yeah. Thank you for naming that.
Yeah. And I know you have a course. If people are kind of resonating, curious, really want to welcome themselves home in this kind of way, tell us a little bit about that, your course.
Yes. Thank you. It's called Ancestral Awakening. and it's 6 weeks. And it's a supportive, safe community to gather with folks who also want to talk about their ancestors and develop their own healing practice around spirituality. And I guide you through 5 really deep embodiments where we work together collectively to heal some of these wounds, some of these separations. One of them is a dark goddess embodiment. The dark goddess was such a foundational part of pre-Christian Europe. And she really allows us to have all of us, our blood, our filth, our power, our birth, our death, all of that. And another one, I help you create your own ritual, your own ancestral awakening ritual. And then we do some pretty good intellectual luxury stuff followed by the embodiment work. Yeah.
That sounds cool. That sounds so important. I'm so glad that you're doing this work. There's a supportive container for this work. It's trauma informed. And my sense, my wish, my assumption is that there's also just a lot of compassion in it. And knowing you, of course there is. And I think people just really need that.
Yeah. I like to think that as folks do this work and change the way they're feeling inside themselves, we do create a little culture shift that ripples out into our community. And mm-hmm. I mean, just imagine if the world leaders related to the trees and the animals and to each other, like they were ancestors and relatives, how different our world would be.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, is there anything more that feels important to bring here before we bring this to a close today?
I maybe want to name that this can bring up a lot of feelings and some confusion, maybe some anger, some discomfort, some shame, also some hope and inspiration. And it's really all normal and so valid and super, super welcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for naming that. All the parts are welcome. Yay. Yeah. So if y'all want to connect with Nuria and her programs and offerings, I will put that in the show notes, how you can find her. And I know your program is opening in November, so hopefully people will come and sign up because it'll be awesome. And just want to say thank you. Thank you for all the work you're doing, the personal work you've had to do to be able to bring this and hold this container for others, and for coming here today.
Thank you so much, Shelby. It's been a real treat.
Yay.
Thank you so much for listening. I have really special news to share. I've planned a deeply nourishing and luxurious retreat for us in Panama in May of next year. It's called Soulful, a somatic embodiment retreat for healing and wellness providers. If you're here listening, it's for you. I created this retreat out of my own burnout, wanting everyone to get the opportunity to return to their own deepest heart with nervous system regulation work, surfing, gentle yoga, and so much more. Come realign with your soul's compass. Expand your capacity to meet life with more ease and sink into really sweet support. Spots are already filling up. Find the link in the show notes or at shelby-lee.com.